Thank you. Yes, if we could we'll start. I just want to first of all give you a good overview of Gideon. No, I've got this.
Yours.
Okay, thank you.
There we are.
Thank you. That's better, yes. I just want to give you a quick overview. Some of you might know already what Gideon's do, so I'm going to quickly go through this because the picture is worth a thousand words and then you'll it saves me speaking too much. After this, there'll be a testimony of a man who was powerfully saved. And could I apologise up front that this guy is speaking actually to a Gideon convention. So he's talking to Gideons, and so just bear that in mind. But actually, it's a very powerful testimony, so it's very interesting to listen to. So look, if we could just make a start on this one, we'll just click through. Okay. Is that one clicking? We tested it before when I first came in, so it should be working. Start from first slide. Okay, Gideon's is an international denomination. We're taken from a lot of different other denominations. We come from Protestant and evangelical churches. Can we go back? Sorry. We've got one mission and one objective alone, that's dedicating and reaching the lost with God's word. You want to click it yourself? Thank you. We're in 201 countries. 12 of those countries are self-supporting. So the other 189 or whatever are not supporting themselves. So the 12 that are more financially able to support. So you can see there's a heavy burden in the ministry, but the work is done equally by everyone. In fact, as you probably realise, the poorer countries, they actually are really hungry for the word of God. Next slide. We produce the Bible in 97 different languages. We used to have the Bible printed in India. I think now it's Korea or the other way around. I can't remember. Next one. Since we started about 1908, actually there's three gentlemen that started it in America about 1899, but they got going in earnest about 1908. So we've been over 100 years in operation, and the Lord has put his hand on this ministry, and we're so thankful for what he's done through this. Over 2.25 billion Bibles distributed worldwide, and that's just our ministry alone. You know, Jesus said he would build his church, and he's doing a fantastic job. Don't forget that. A lot of Christians, they get sort of depressed, they sort of think, they look at the world and they sort of think, it's really going to hell in a handbasket, you know, but Jesus is building his church and he's doing a fantastic job. And this is why we like reporting back to churches, to encourage you that Jesus is doing a wonderful work, absolutely stunning work. So in Australia alone, we've been here since 1958, operation in Australia, 1958, so 16 and nearly 17 million Bibles. In the year 2014-15, we gave out 430,000 Bibles just in the year 2014-15, largely because we had those enormous Bible blitz in Melbourne called the Melbourne Outreach something or other. But yeah, it's just fantastic. So it's an amazing work that the Lord is doing. So we personally witness ourselves. Whenever we get an opportunity, we witness and tell them about Jesus. If they're interested, we'll give them a Bible. I don't like giving Bibles to anyone, only those that I know that the Lord is speaking in their heart. They're going to respect the Word of God, and then I'll give them a copy. Next one. So we place hotels, motels, next one, in schools, in prisons, universities, colleges. And this particular scripture is one that's very dear to our heart. This is something we hold on to. And we often refer to this and believe strongly on this, that God will watch over his word and it will accomplish that which he sends it out. You know, when we're offering someone the Bible, you know, that's not just words on paper. That's breathed, God's word breathed. And when that word is read, it can be life. And when we get testimonies back, it's interesting because someone will get saved reading John chapter 1, verse 5. Someone will get saved reading Ephesians 5, verse 14. It's just amazing. Just amazing. Another Aboriginal lady, she got saved reading about Daniel in the lion's den. You know why? Because the night before, God had given her a dream that she was surrounded by lions, and there was this path, and she was walking down this path. These lions wanted to rip her to shreds on either side, but she could see a man at the end of this passage, the pathway, and she walked, and it was Jesus. And the next day, she opened a Bible. She was in prison. She opened a Bible, and she read about Daniel in the lion's den, and she realized, oh, God's real. Yeah. Next one, please. So, but there's still billions to be reached. Next one. We are God's fellow workers. We're a missionary arm of the church, such as yourselves. And we are in the business of obeying the great commission of the Lord. So please pray for us. We need help in three ways. Main one is prayer. Next one is become a member. If you think that you would like to, if you're interested in winning souls and you think you might be eligible to be a Gideon, come and talk to me later and we'll just see if that's possible. If you can't become a member, we've got a new program now called Being a Friend of Gideon's, and it's actually on that flyer that you've got as you were coming in. You'll see it. It's about one of the last panels there on that. If you want to become a Gideon friend of Gideon, you can. And if you donate a minimum of $12.50 a year, I think, I'm not sure, you will get 6 Bibles. So, and you can then use them as witnessing tools. And also, we'll keep you informed about what's going on in the ministry. So one small Bible costs $1.50. So, you know, if you were to donate, say, you know, $5 per month into the ministry, we'd be able to supply 3 or 4 of those. And sometimes one of those reaches not just one person, it can reach a family. It can even change a community. And in some cases, it's even changed cities. And one testament was given to a Filipino man many years ago. It affected his family, his children, his children's children, and later on in a big convention in America, this grandson of this man came and said, "You won't believe, you know, that what that one scripture did." You know, there was probably about 300 churches that were established, and about dozens of pastors came from just that one testament. We had a Bible Blitz in the Philippines some time back, and in the space of about 2-3 weeks, we gave out 1.5 million Bibles. That was just a record. Normally, in an international Bible Blitz, we would give out about 300,000 or 400,000. This time, it was 1.5 million. Next slide, please. There's Gideon cards. So if you've got someone who's got a birthday or you've got a celebratory thing or just a thinking of you or a sympathy card, can I encourage you, just use the cards. I'm going to leave a pack of cards at the back. Use the card. It's free. But in the card is also an envelope and where you can send it to head office, Gideon's head office in Canberra, with a donation. It's just $5. And they'll send you a replacement card all the time. Every time you send $5, they'll send you a replacement card, and that will fund them in. That'll actually buy free scriptures to someone. If you buy a card at a newsagent's, Mr. Hallmark will pocket that money and smile and go to the bank. Okay, next one. So become a friend of Gideon's. Please pray for us. Donate, share the word. Help someone say yes to Jesus. Next one. There's a Bible app. I've got some information down there how you can download a Bible app, but it's fantastic. It's even got audio. Okay, next slide. Thank you from us. We really appreciate being here today. It's a joy to be with you. Thank you. Now, I think we've got a testimony. I'll just quickly show that testimony, and then I'll quickly share some of the word with you.
You hear about the thousands, the millions of Bibles that are distributed, the remarkable union of pastors and Gideon businessmen and women that are committed to distributing Bibles, but it all comes down to someone like me. My father went to work before the sun came up, and he came home after the sun went down 7 days a week. He was an atheist. He never set foot in a church, not for a funeral or for a wedding my entire life. When I was at 11 years of age, my mother found herself in the arms of another man and left with my sister and my two brothers, and my father found himself in the arms of a bottle. That same year, I joined a gang. I was arrested for stealing firearms in the fifth grade, stole my first car before I started the sixth grade, and became a ward of the state. At the age of 14, having stabbed a young man, I ended up in Elmira State Reform School and spent my entire high school behind bars. I ended up going in the Marine Corps to avoid further time in prison. By the time I was 18, I was in the jungles of Vietnam as a young Marine. It was another hideous experience that left me violent and unhappy and addicted to drugs and alcohol and pornography, violence and anger. I couldn't understand how people like you could sit by with your suits and go to your churches and not know what was going on in the underbelly of society, because I had never worked a day in my life. A habitual welfare case. I stole some credit cards from a doctor and went cross country, got arrested at Lake Tahoe. I turned 21 in that jail, and I remember my mother saying when I was 14 that I would be in jail or I'd be dead by the time I was 21. I fulfilled her expectations. I tried Scientology. If there was a cult, I tried it. I tried everything but the Bible or church because of the way I was raised. I don't know if it was my shoulder length hair, the hippie garb, but we found ourselves in one of the nastiest jails I'd ever been in. I would tear pages out of books and roll cigarettes. I found a book with thin pages, so I was smoking Leviticus. And I started reading the Gospel of John. It's hard to stand amongst pastors and Christians and say, I lived in America and I was 21 and it was the first time I held a Bible. As I read the Gospel of John, I put my father's face and his fists on the face of God, and I had a hard time believing that God could love me. I did not have a problem with sin. I got the sin part. With no understanding of theology, only that I was a sinner and I needed God, I cried out and I said, God, please forgive me for my sins. Help me. The shackles of sin and shame and guilt dropped away, and I wrote a letter to the sheriff that arrested me. Turned out he was a deacon in a church. He came, they dismissed the charges, and I was released. And on the way back to where we had been arrested, where we had threw our backpacks full of drugs into the woods running from the police, I told the young girl that I had gotten arrested that I found there's an absolute truth. There's a God, and he had a son. And she began to weep. She said, I wasn't sure how to tell you. There was a Bible in my jail cell, and I gave my life to Christ, and I wasn't sure what I was going to tell you when we saw each other in court. What could I do? I married her. Deborah, would you stand up? Someone in a church like yours, who probably never ever introduced anybody to Jesus, paid for a Bible, that spent 7 years in a hotel before it found its way to that jail cell. And when I gave my life to Christ, he got me. My 5 children have been raised Christians and all serve God. My 9 children will do the same. My brother I led to Christ, and he's a children's pastor. I led my sister to Christ. And I'm working through it. My sister-in-law just came to Christ. 38 years we're praying for him. She just gave her life to Christ recently. I want you to know something. When I get to heaven, I'm going to find the person that paid for that Bible, and I'm going to introduce him to all of the people I've led to Christ. I'm an outreach pastor. I don't spend my time picking fleas off of sheep in the congregation. I'm talking to lost people all the time. My wife wanted me to be a Gideon, but I backslid and became a pastor. And Gideon's, It may be a thankless experience at times when you're out there sharing and delivering Bibles and moving around, but I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to find that Gideon who's long dead, I'm sure. He's sitting up there with Lazarus and Abraham, and when I find him, I'm going to kiss his feet and tell him my family never knew what I knew because Gideon's cared enough to put a Bible in a place where I would run into it in the highways and the byways of America. And it grabbed my soul and hasn't let go. And now I long for an opportunity to stand before Gideon's and say, what you do makes a difference. It isn't millions of Bibles, it's millions of people that meet the Savior. We're transformed and we're all the time finding new ways to say, pastors, this isn't a small ministry, it's life-changing. And Gideon's, what you do makes a difference. So me and my children and my grandchildren, we salute you. Thank you for serving God in such a meaningful ministry. You hear about the thousands, the millions of Bibles.
And we thank you. Without you, we couldn't do anything. And without the Lord working through us, we couldn't do anything. So thank you very much. God doesn't only work in America. You know, we've got testimonies. And can I encourage you, if you've got time, if you're a surfer of the net, you know, go on our website, www.gideons.org.au. On the left-hand side, you'll see something about lives changed or testimonies. And click on that. And then on the next one on that same side, you click on testimonies and you'll see a range of them. You'll see a number of people there and you can hear from their own testimony. It's all very well for me to sort of reiterate someone else's testimony. It's great to hear. You know, I remember one time listening to a testimony from a guy who was a terrorist leader. You know those Al-Shabaab and those ones in Africa? He was like one of the leaders of that. And the Lord said, it's just an amazing testimony. And he actually killed a guy who gave him a New Testament. He'd captured a lot of people, and one of the guys gave him a testimony. And after that, he couldn't sleep, and he read, and he became a Christian. And later on, he became a military leader in a legitimate army in Somalia, wherever he was. And all 300 men under him became Christians. So, you know, it's the power of the gospel. It's just amazing. Okay, this morning we read, thank you Isabel for reading, verses 1 to 11. You know, these disciples, they had been commanded by the Lord to stay in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And they had asked him, you know, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? And he said, you know, the Father's got things, I'm paraphrasing here, he's got his own, but for you, this is what you should do, is wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Prior to that, he had said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, all authority. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. So this is where Gideon's and churches link. We reach people for Christ and then they join a church. And we are in the soul winning business, and the church is in the teaching business and growing disciples. But we've got and you've also got your own outreaches, I know. But today, I was thinking of, you know, what to share. And, you know, these were all in one accord in one place. There's a fantastic thing when brethren are in unity. You know, the Bible says when brethren dwell in unity, it's there that God commands a blessing. And so unity and harmony is very important. So being in accord and being in one place is very, very important. And even Jesus said, look, if you've got a disagreement with someone, just leave your gift at the altar and go and get right with your brother and sister. And when you've made amends, then come and offer your gift. And same Paul in Corinthians, he said to the brethren there in Corinth, make sure that Euodus and Syntyche agree. He never found out what was the issue with Syntyche and what the issue with Euodus. He just said, agree, be in harmony, be together. Now, we can be in harmony together, but there's another harmony and an accord that I wanted to talk about, and that is being in accord and in one purpose with God. You know, these disciples, when they waited in that upper room, they were also... when I read that, I see the heart of God. You know, when Jesus died, the moment he died, the curtain in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. And God was signifying that the way back into the holiest of holies was totally open now. And more than that, God was showing, I believe, that he was willing. Come, come, you know, you've got no more barrier between me and you. Come, the way is open. And similarly, when the Holy Spirit came down and they began speaking in tongues to so many different nations, and you read the nations there, there's more than 12, so there was, it's not just the disciples were filled with tongues, they all were. And what is the intent of God's heart there? The Holy Spirit was speaking about Jesus, the wonderful works of God, the wonderful works of God. So what do you and I see? I see there that God has a burning passion to share Christ, to share the fact that there is salvation in no other name but Jesus. And you can see what Paul preached when he stood up. He preached that same thing. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit has come to do, to testify. And the disciples weren't able to share that until the Holy Spirit came. And I believe as Christians, we should be being filled all the time with the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, it was when he first came into the world. But then you read, there's two or three other episodes where the same thing happened in a smaller sort of situation, but the same thing. They were all baptized again in the Holy Spirit. They still spoke, and they spoke boldly the word of God. So it happened two or three times. So what I'm saying is, sometimes we need to seek that freshness again of being filled and used by God to speak. And sometimes it's a scary thing. You know, Jesus, when he first started preaching, and he would call people. He saw Andrew and Peter and John. He said, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. So what was the Lord saying to them? One, follow him. Two, he was going to teach them to become fishers of men. And the Bible says, whoever wins souls is wise. And I believe that God wants more soul winners in the kingdom of God, in churches. And a lot of people seem to have a difficulty in sharing Jesus. Some people are okay about it, and they have a confidence, and they can do it, and they practice it. But it's like everything. If you trust God and practice, he will teach you to get better. You know, you're not an expert fisherman unless you try and try and try and try. And the Lord teaches you along the way. You know, you might have heard about this guy called Arthur Blessed, the man who had carried a cross and walked all around the world with it. He was so good at witnessing. He could There was an occasion once where he was standing at a red light waiting for the crosswalk, and these guys were standing with him. He was a group of people. He turned and witnessed to this guy who was next to him when they were waiting for the crosswalk sign to change. Before the crosswalk sign had changed, he had this man, and he was on his knees asking for the Lord's salvation. Why? Because he was good at it. Why was he good at it? Because he practiced it all the time. And there's people like him who say, God, every day I want someone. Please give me someone. I want to speak to someone. Lead someone to the Lord, to you today. Give me someone. Open my eyes that I might see someone. So may the Lord open our eyes. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's not for Christians to have an experience. It's not for us to have an emotional high. And unfortunately, sometimes it appears that Christians seek things like that. I remember years ago, when I was a young Christian, I had two lovely friends, and both of them were seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they sought and sought to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they kept on sort of like hitting a brick wall. And, you know, but what I see in Acts is that if there's a yieldedness in my heart, in your heart, to do what God wants to do with you, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. He will empower you if you are yielded and surrendered. And all you want to do is his will, then he'll use you. So I think that is key for the Holy Spirit, you know. The Holy Spirit does not come and fall on people who are not yielded. And I think this is being in one accord, in one place. They're not only in accord with each other, they're also submitted to God. You know, when Jesus said to them, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, he didn't say wait for a week, wait for 2 weeks, wait for a month, wait for a year. They didn't know how long. They just had to wait and wait and wait. And we sometimes, a lot of our Christian life is often waiting, isn't it? But you know, we can wait a frustrated wait, or we can wait a faithful wait. We can wait a positive wait. We can wait in a yielded way, and the Lord will use us. Just want to touch on being in one accord with God. I believe God's got a big picture that he's working towards, and it's to do with Jesus. And if you're saved, you are one of the most blessed. There's no one more blessed on the earth than you if you're a saved person, because you've been taken by God. When you were lost, he found you. You know, when a sheep is lost, it stays lost. It doesn't get found again by itself. It can't say, oh, I think this is the way home. I'll go around this tree, across this creek, around this, over this hill, and then I'll get home. Once a sheep gets lost, it stays lost unless the shepherd finds it. So if you're saved, the Lord has found you. Thank God he found you. Thank God he found me. And not only that, he's put you in Christ, in such a safe place. Such a safe place. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. How safe is that? And you know, God is summing up everything in Christ. And in Hebrews, it talks about that we do not see everything yet put under his feet. I believe God's got a program. It says in a number of places in Scripture that God is putting everything under the feet of Jesus. When he had once offered sin sacrifice for all time, this man, he sat down at the right hand of God, expecting and waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. And God says the same thing about Jesus. I'm going to put your enemies under your feet. God is working towards a program where the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. That's what God is working towards. He's working also towards a new heaven and a new earth. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, what I see in Christian circles is this, you know, God loves me and God wants to bless me and God wants to give me a good life. And yeah, this is all true. But the big picture is God's got a big picture that he's working on. And you know what? You and I are not at the center of it. Jesus is at the center of it and we are in him. There's many gospels around in many churches that seem to have this, it's all about God blessing me and having a great life, having an enjoyable. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. That's what the truth is. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But he said, be of good cheer. So let's understand where we are. You know, in Revelation, there are seven churches mentioned. They were seven churches that truly existed in that time. There were also seven types of churches that you can have in every decade of history. And also you can look at them and you can sort of say, you know what, I can see these seven churches are like a chronological order, with the Laodicean church being the last one, which is probably where we're at now, where the church is saying, we're rich. And you look at them on the TV and that, you know, these pastors that fly around in their jets and that, you know, and they're saying, we've got it all together. We're so prosperous, you know. We're rich. And Jesus, I think sometimes when churches think they're rich, they're very, very poor. And the Word of God even says they're naked and blind. We're living in perilous times, brothers and sisters, really, really perilous times. That's what Paul said to Timothy. We're living in perilous times, in the last days of perilous times, where men shall be lovers of their own selves more than God. And everyone's thinking about what's in it for me, what's for me. And me is at the centre. This is not, God's got a big picture. Let's keep our eye on the big picture. The Holy Spirit is interested in promoting Christ. Let's promote Christ. Let's speak of Christ. Can I encourage you? Later on this year, Gideon's is going to conduct some workshops on sharing the gospel, sharing Jesus without fear. So if you want to partake in that, I'll be writing to your church, and hopefully if any of you guys want to join in that, you can, and that'll give you the tools and the skills and the confidence to share Jesus. I think that's all I've got for you today. I don't want to take up too much of your time. And God bless you so much. Thank you. Please come and talk to us later on over there. Thank you. Bye.